Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, you know what comes next. St. Paul continues on that we should think about these things. Let's do that. Let's be ever mindful of the good that surrounds us. That's what we do on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and hopefully lively hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times, so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G is in the house. Everybody knows Jimmy G. He's my engineer and chief fact checker. You know, you're not the IT guy. We need an IT guy in here this morning, don't we?
You gotta love technology.
Yeah, it's gone sideways on us this morning, folks. My printer was not working at home. I come in to print stuff here in the studio.
Yep.
The printer's not working in our studio.
Yep.
You know, sometimes there are little demons that exist in there.
And the funny thing is, too, I recently heard a phrase talking about, you know, when you got your computer on and you see the little spinny ball by your mouse.
Worry.
Spinny ball.
Worry. Well, I call it the color wheel.
Right,
when it
right,
comes
right.
on, it's kind of like processing very slowly.
Exactly.
You can go take a nap. Hey, Jimmy G and I want to remind our listener friends that we're coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. We are the Diocese of Orange. And EWTN and the diocese jointly produced this program. So we're indebted to both families for giving us this great opportunity to evangelize, spread the good news in our uniquely Call Me Catholic way. So this being Independence Day weekend, we want to give you a show that has a little wham, kapow, punch to get you stirred up for 4th of July fireworks, your celebration this week. Are you celebrating, Jimmy G?
Oh, of course. I've been wondering if folks are kind of using this as like the pre-holiday weekend, if Monday becomes kind of like that Friday after Thanksgiving.
Well, I think people are loving the fact that it's kind of a four-day weekend for a
right.
lot of people.
Exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, our friends in Irondale, Alabama, they are not closing their offices on Monday. So they're going back to work. But for a lot of the nation, it's a nice four-day holiday. So we're going to talk about Independence Day today. In fact, we're going to talk about America's superheroes. America has always had, at least since the 20th century, a fascination with our caped crusaders. Now, even if you don't call yourself a comic book fan, the influence of superheroes in our culture is totally undeniable. We've got Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Captain America, all instantly recognizable, all intrinsically American, and all standing up for and defending what is right and good against all odds.
And don't forget the Ninja Turtles.
Michelangelo, Leonardo. Last weekend, I visited my son. He was down here at VidCon.
Oh, yeah.
Video convention. And they had life-size Ninja Turtles. And
oh,
he played with Ninja Turtles a lot when he was a little boy. So we went and we had our picture taken with them.
Very nice.
It's really cool, actually. Hey, we love our superheroes. So in the spirit of America's Independence Day, we're going to dig deep into the history and spirituality of our superheroes. And we've got the right man to lead us in that discussion in just a few minutes. You are going to meet Joe Thordarson, founder of the Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention.
Wow.
And host of Geek Tank Radio on 101.9 KISS FM in Memphis. So howdy to all our Memphis listeners. He knows a lot about our comic book heroes, and he will expose the deep Catholic spirituality that's been deliberately crafted into many of these characters.
Very interesting.
I know it. You know, this isn't subtle. This is pretty deliberately put into their constructs. So I think that's fascinating, and I'm looking forward to that conversation, and I hope you are too. And then later in the show, I'll be chatting with Catholics, very young Catholics, as a matter of fact. I took my microphone to an adventure Bible camp here in the Diocese of Orange and asked the young campers to tell me who their favorite superhero was. And I think you will get a kick out of their responses. But first up, it's the Call Me Catholic Countdown of the Week, which today will be my top five favorite Catholic heroes, real heroes from American history. Now, maybe not superheroes, but heroes all the same. Now, early in our nation's formation, there were many heroic Catholics who sacrificed and persevered through many hardships to establish a Catholic presence on our continent. And let's honor a few of them today in our Call Me Catholic Countdown. So here we go.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Oh, yeah, we have applause. New little jingle for our Call Me Catholic Countdown. Okay, here we go. My top five favorite Catholic heroes from early American history. Okay, so these are a little obscure, but consider this a bit of a history lesson this weekend. Okay, number five, a rather remarkable Jesuit missionary named Father Sebastian Rale. Now, he lived in America before it was actually the United States of America in the early 1700s. He lived in what's now considered Norridge Walk, Maine, with the Abenaki tribe of Indians.
Oh.
And he spent 30 years with the Native Americans documenting all their languages and as well as, you know, teaching them, evangelizing to them, spreading the good news of the gospel. And he got along so well with them, and he was such a brilliant man, as such an incredible linguist, took to their language so well, that the British started, you know, in their contrary way, started getting very worried about this missionary priest over there in Native American land. Hmm. And so they put a price on his head and encouraged the Mohawks to go and assassinate him, which they did. They beheaded him. But not before he had collected this incredible documentary of manuscripts of all these languages. And
wow.
It became very useful to America, and it continues to be one of the preeminent studies of Native American languages. So thank you, Father Rale, for that. Okay, number four. Have you ever heard of Sister Blandina, the fastest nun in the West?
I have not. Did she?
That was not a rhetorical question, Jimmy G.
Did she lace up her Nikes?
No, she lived in the Wild West, the late 1800s into the early 20th century. And at the age of 21, she went and lived in the small mining town of Trinidad, Colorado, where she ministered to the residents of the town and stood up also for the rights of Native Americans. But she is most famous for her encounters with Billy the Kid. Now, I love this story. So one day, Sister Blandina, true story, received word from a member of Billy the Kid's gang that one of his gang members was wounded and was left for dead in a hut. He was near dead. And none of the doctors in town wanted to deal with him or treat him because he was a member of Billy the Kid's notorious clan.
Hmm.
So she went to him and she nursed him back to health. And he told her weeks after he had recovered, well, Billy the Kid is going to come into town and wants to meet you. So she met him. And he shook her hand and said, thank you very much, sister, for being the only one that tended to my man here. And he said, I'm going to go kill all those doctors who wouldn't treat him.
Oh.
And so he said, but first, what can I do for you? And sister said, you cannot kill the doctors that avoided him.
Wow.
So that was her first gesture of peace. She and Billy the Kid remained friends, and she was able to avert a lot of violence in her area by going out and negotiating with him. Tough chick.
What a story.
Sister Blandina, she is superhero. I think.
I see an amazing movie there.
Superhero
wow.
status. Okay. Number three would be another nun called Mother Joseph of the Sacred Heart. She traversed the American Northwest in 1956, settled in the Seattle area. And over the next 45 years, she established over 30 schools, hospitals, and homes for orphans, the elderly, and the mentally ill in the greater Seattle area. That's in 1856. So this is a tough pioneer woman. I mean, she possessed an incredible arsenal of talents. She was a seamstress, a carpenter, a painter, sculptor, blacksmith, farmer, watchmaker, locksmith, architect, and mechanic. She did all those things. As a mother superior, you kind of have to do that. I know a mother superior up in Tehachapi with the Norbertine sisters. She's pretty much she files all those tasks herself too.
The amazing things you find out when you dig it, do a little digging.
I know it. And she went on to become kind of a really important figure in Washington history. In fact, a statue of her is in the famous Hall of Statues in Washington, D.C. They chose her in the nation's capital. So, in the National Statuary Hall. So she has also been inducted into the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame. So she's cool.
Very impressive.
Okay. Number two, I'm going to throw into one big category all our Catholic chaplains that have served the American military. And that's a very important part of our history. You know, before the Civil War, all the way through the Revolutionary War, Catholics didn't have much status in this country, so they were not given chaplains in the military. And there weren't as many Catholics then either. There were a lot of Protestants. But by the Civil War, the Catholic community had grown, and a lot of them were serving in the military, so they assigned Catholic chaplains to serve and provide comfort in war and peace. And those Catholic chaplains continue to be true American heroes. Mm. And sadly, some of them are forgotten in the great service they gave us. Okay, so my number one superhero from American history, real hero, I'm going to say is the servant of God. I don't know if he's venerable yet. Augustus Tolton. He was the first African-American to be ordained a priest. He was born into slavery in 1854, and against all odds, he went into the priesthood. I mean, he even faced tremendous prejudice from within the Catholic Church.
Wow.
Yeah, and he went on to become a priest and got ordained in Rome, and he thought he'd be sent to Africa. But they sent him back to America, actually back to his hometown to serve there in Quincy, Illinois. And at first he was received and applauded and cheered as a great hero coming back to serve the people. But, you know, prejudice reared its ugly head and a lot of the townspeople shunned him and created a lot of trouble for him. So his archbishop sent him to the south side of Chicago, where he lived in a parish where they didn't even have a home for him. But he built schools and he helped them, and he had great dignity and self-respect and love and courage through it all. And he is well on his way to being a saint. I know that the Archdiocese of Chicago is really advocating his sainthood. And,
fantastic.
And I think that's amazing. So there's your mini American history lesson for the day. And talking about real life heroes is a good entree to our next conversation, which will be about America's fictional superheroes. Turns out a lot of them are Catholic too. Joe Thorderson, host of Geek Tank Radio on Kiss FM in Memphis, is going to give us our next history lesson. But hey, don't forget to check out our Facebook page. It's very patriotic, very spirited, and we like watching our family grow. So like us on Facebook.com/CallMeCatholic. We've got our stars and stripes on today, so stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, friends, and God bless America. It's the 4th of July weekend, our American Independence Day holiday, and we've got some punch and kapow to our show today in honor of that. Who is your favorite American superhero? Wonder Woman, Batman, Captain America? Maybe you're a traditionalist and Spider-Man or Superman is your guy. Well, nothing says America like these colorful caped crusaders, and nobody knows more about them than our guest, Joe Thorderson. Joe is the founder of the Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention and the creator of Geek 101, an educational program sanctioned by the Tennessee Arts Commission that uses the geek genre to foster the arts with young people. He is also the host of Geek Tank Radio on 101.9 Kiss FM in Memphis. Hey, Joe, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hey, Peggy, thanks for having me on. I am a big fan of your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, okay, Joe, I appreciate that. But I got to tell you, in the spirit of full disclosure, I'm warning you, I'm not an expert in this field. I don't know all my superheroes. I'm kind of an Indiana Jones girl. So I'm counting on you to guide me through this discussion.
Well, and in fairness and in full disclosure on my end, you really feel, I don't want to pretend I'm the expert on everything. I know a lot, but, you know, my fellow geeks might, I don't want to oversell this, because they might pick me apart. So.
Well, in this particular context, you are our expert. Now, this is the 4th of July weekend when we're all talking about the history of our great country. So tell us how comic books, Joe, and their superheroes became such an iconic part of our culture.
Well, comic books were born out of the 1930s, right out of the Great Depression, and the superhero actually had to really fight just to come into existence. There's debate among the geek scholars who was the first one, but really I think it's all acknowledged that Superman was the first. And Jerry Siegel, who created Superman with his friend Joe Shuster, it took him 5 years before anybody would publish it. They actually created Superman in 1933. And it didn't get published till 1938. They really had to fight to make it happen. And I should mention, they were only 17 years old when they created Superman.
Oh, my gosh. So they were mostly illustrators, right?
Well, Jerry was a writer and Joe was the illustrator. And they were both, no nice way to say it, they were both geeks, really. They were picked on in high school. They were bullied. And they kind of expressed themselves through their art and through their writing. And they created a larger-than-life superhero named Superman.
Well, let's get into Superman then, because he is, you know, the real iconic one. And what's interesting is he has this Christological background. I mean, he was sent by a father in the heavens to bring salvation to the world. And the theme goes on and on and on. Was he intended to be Christian Catholic?
Well, I don't know whether I know absolutely Jerry Siegel. Now, Jerry Siegel was Jewish. You know, he was an Orthodox Jewish man. And so I know that if you remember the story of Superman, how he was put into the rocket and sent off to safety and adopted by another parent, that was very, he purposely did that sort of as a tip of the hat to Moses. Superman has a very similar kind of background with that.
Oh, interesting.
But whether he intended it or not, there are definitely Christian allegories or symbolism in Superman. I think he may have intended it. So.
You know, interestingly, I did read that Hitler banned American comics, at least Superman superheroes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He did like though. He liked Mickey Mouse, apparently.
Did he? Okay, I didn't know that. Well, you know more. Well, and I know he didn't like Captain America because the first issue of Captain America had Captain America punching him right across the jaw. So that did not go well with him. But yeah, the superheroes were definitely, they did not like it over there in Germany in World War II, for sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the superheroes stood for good, and they stood for all that is right, and they defended the defenseless. So, isn't it logical that they have a certain spirituality, that they represent, you know, the moral code of most Christian religions?
Well, I think so. I think absolutely. I think we've had discussions like this in the past, because I love to talk about the spiritual dimension in comic books without getting into a thing of, you know, Spider-Man obviously is not, divinely inspired or anything, but, what grounds these superheroes is basically Judeo-Christian morals. And, in some cases, there's nothing subtle about it. Some of our superheroes are Catholic or very devout Christians. And, there's quite a few that are actually Catholic, which is kind of cool.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me in art, whether you're talking about film or literature or fine art, if they want to portray something that is good or something that is holy, they will use the icons, the images from Catholic, from our Catholic faith, because it just immediately implies something. And I think, you know, they'll show somebody grabbing a rosary bead. They'll just to show them in a quick image that they have this spiritual dimension.
Well, it's funny you said that. There's a character from the X-Men named Nightcrawler, and he is a very devout Catholic. And in fact, you might, I think it was the second X-Men movie, we meet him and he's praying the rosary before he goes into battle. And he basically hangs out in the bell tower of a church, and he is a very devout Catholic, which is kind of cool, you know.
Hey, we are talking with Joe Thorderson, comic book historian. Okay, I'm not going to call you a superhero expert then, because you say there are so many people that are just these light years in knowledge. Book historian and enthusiast. If you'd like to join our conversation and give us your two cents about the culture of superheroes and their spiritual relevance, dial us up at 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. This is your chance to talk with Joe Thordarson, Marvelous Matt, our call screener. We'll patch you right through. Hey, so Joe, who is your favorite superhero?
Well, for me, it's Batman, which is interesting because technically, if you want to really get technical, he's not a superhero because he doesn't have superpowers. But I think Batman is one of the most perfect characters ever created in terms of his motivation, and he's grounded with a certain moral code. And he I just think he's interesting, and he's endured for getting close to 80 years now. And there's just something very cool about Batman. Now, I have to stipulate, I'm one of these, I've never been a fan of sidekicks, so I'm no offense against people that like Robin, but...
Or
I
Alfred.
Like Batman, Alfred. Yeah, well, no, Alfred's okay. Alfred's fine. He's not a sidekick. He's they have a cool relationship, but, well, I don't want to insult Robin fans, but I'm just not I like Batman operating in the shadows by himself. And also, I would stipulate, I like the version of Batman where he is not... some have tried to write him as like a womanizer, and you know, the man about town and all that. At the heart, I have several comic books that he is a very chaste and very, you know, he's a very generous person. He uses his fortune to help people he's cool too, you know.
Well, he is cool. But I have to say that when Chris O'Donnell played Robin in one of the early Batman movies, he gave him a lot of street cred. I thought that was a brilliant move of casting.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, he did. Now, we won't talk about the second movie they did, because that was the Joel Schumacher Batman and Robin, I think, was just, all Batman fans agree, that was not cool.
It was
a travesty.
Do you develop first a relationship with these guys on the printed page, or are you one of these guys that developed a relationship with them on the big screen in the movie portrayals?
Well, for me, it's interesting because, you know, I read the comics and I grew up with it. And then, you know, back in the day, we didn't have these kind of movies that we have today. So now I'm just living the dream. I mean, every year there's a couple of movies, but, so I came to know these characters through the comics. Now for my kids, it's the exact opposite. They are introduced to them through the movies, which, you know, I think that's probably going to continue, I would think. I feel like Marvel and DC probably emphasize the films a lot more than the comics now.
So do you think that the screen has done a good job by and large in animating these figures? Or do you think they have more potency on the page as they were intended?
You know, it's funny because I love storytelling. I love all the mediums you can tell stories. There are some characters that are just cool on the page because you can add more dialogue and some of these characters are very intellectual and you can hear what they're thinking and everything. But I salute Marvel and DC. I think they've really done a good job, really since about the year. I think the first one we had the X-Men back near 2000. And ever since then, I think they've done a good job. Now, I don't watch every movie. I'm not at all supportive of characters like Deadpool or any of these, very violent, you know, so I don't just universally support all superheroes. I like ones that have a moral.
You're discerning. You're discerning. Well, you know, Marvel Comics did a wonderful comic book on Pope St. John Paul II. I remember it distinctly. It came out in the mid 80s. You have it? It's cool, isn't it?
I have it. It's wonderful. Yeah. And I have a secondary one of St. Francis, and they've done other, Marvel's done really nice things, but yeah, the Pope John Paul one is absolutely a classic.
Yeah,
he's my modern day hero, if you want to know the truth. But my son's middle name is John Paul. John Paul the Second is my absolute hero. I love the guy.
Well, and you know, some of our saints, in addition, you know, like Pope John Paul II, really lend themselves to this kind of portrayal, because the minute you see them in those kind of designs on the comic book, you know that there's something really powerful. I don't know; it just immediately draws this imagery of superhero. I think it's a great medium for portraying, telling some of the saint stories. You know, also, Joe, I took a photograph of my three boys, and there was a booth in a local shopping center that said, "We will convert that photograph to make your boys kind of like drawing like superheroes." So it's really cute. That done because they are three of my superheroes, and including my husband. But I love it. People ask me about it all the time. I say, those are my three superheroes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's something, and you know, I am unapologetic in my love for America. I mean, I am patriotic as they come, and comic books are an American art form. Now, of course, it's spread across the globe and everything, but, and I don't know, I mean, there's just something that resonates, I think, for all of us, even if we're not superhero fans. The art form is just cool, you know, and it's,
yeah, I want to talk to you too.
And it's fun.
When we come back after the break, Joe, I want to talk to you about how you use that art form with the Tennessee Arts Commission to kind of foster an appreciation for art with young people. We have only begun to scratch the surface on this rich topic of American superheroes and their influence on our culture. Joe Thorderson is giving us a rich and fascinating tour of this unique art form and the messages it conveys. So stick around. In fact, you can give us a call. call and jump right into our dialogue with your thoughts and comments. The number is 714-282-6034. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk with Jamie from Florida, who has some thoughts on Wonder Woman. And I'm going to be curious to see your response to some of her criticism of Wonder Woman, Joe. So be prepared for that one. We'll be right back. Okay. Are you ready for that one? I'm reading that she has a concern that it's very anti-Catholic. Okay. We're going to be right back with more fireworks on this 4th of July edition of Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, my fellow listeners. I salute you on this fine 4th of July weekend. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to an all-American edition of Call Me Catholic. We are exploring the world of American superheroes today, the comic variety, actually. And our guest, Joe Thorderson, is a preeminent expert on the subject. He's the founder of the Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention and the creator of Geek 101, an educational program sanctioned by the Tennessee Arts Commission that uses the geek genre to foster the arts with young people. He is also the host of Geek Tank Radio on 101.9 KISS FM in Memphis. Hey, Joe, we're going to go right to a caller here, Jamie from Florida, who is listening to Call Me Catholic on Divine Mercy, 920 AM. She has a question and a comment about Wonder Woman. Hey, Jamie, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Hello. Yes, actually, he.
Oh, sorry about that.
No worries. From what I've read about Wonder Woman, the movie was great from like a Catholic perspective. Catholic morality was very much pushed, but the origin of the Wonder Woman comics was actually quite a bit opposite. So, I mean, it's kind of promising that we've seen a progression from that, but I was just wondering if you could talk about like the creator and how he made Wonder Woman originally and how that's changed.
Well, that's a great point, and I'm going to be interested to hear Joe's perspective on that, because she is one of the leading female heroines. So I think that you bring up a really good point. So, Joe, what do you think of that comment about Wonder Woman being having origins that were not so favorable to Catholicity?
Yeah, actually, I can definitely agree with Jamie on pretty much this whole thing. I don't, in full disclosure, I didn't read a lot of Wonder Woman growing up, but I know a little bit about the man who created Wonder Woman, and he was not a very, he lived a very, let's just say, unsavory, I guess you could say, lifestyle, and I don't know if I've heard people refer to that. In terms of her origin, I don't know that there's anything anti-Catholic, but I'm not an expert on that. What I get most excited about is, in terms of the film, is Warner Brothers seems to be making a conscious decision to add spiritual themes, and in some cases it's just blatant. I mean, like one of the characters, Deadshot, now of course he's a villain, but he has a biblical verse on his collar. In Batman versus Superman, there was quite a number of discussions that centered around God and God's existence and spirituality and everything. I thought it was very, I think the tone that they're setting it with Warner Brothers is really exciting. You wouldn't expect something like that in our culture today. So,
well, especially
as far as the origins, I don't know.
If they took the origins and they evolved it into having more moral fiber and kind of a Christian overtone. So that's very cool of Warner Brothers to do that. Does that help answer your question, Jamie?
Yeah, I think so. It was, because what I'd heard was, like you said, there was kind of had an unsavory background of, like, wife and girlfriend that he kind of used both to base his character on. But, it is definitely very reassuring that those strides have been made to put more of the spirituality, to put more of the Catholic morality into those things, even when there's, like, a basis in, like, the Greek and Roman mythology for the character's background, it's still almost baptizing that pagan culture into a more Catholic view.
Yeah, that's very well put. And the good news is that most young people will never see the comic book or never understand the origins. They'll just see how it was handled in the movie. So good point, Jamie. Thanks so much for calling. Call Me Catholic. Have a great 4th of July weekend.
Thank you. You too. Stay safe.
Okay, you too. Yeah, he makes a, I think he made a really good point. So thanks, Jamie, for that. And Joe, I also wanted to ask you about the villains that these guys are always pitted against. Are they,
right.
Do they borrow themes from modern evil influences in the world?
Well, if we stick with Wonder Woman, the villain in the, and I have to be careful not to give spoilers in case anybody hasn't seen it.
Wait, did you like the show? By the way, did you like the movie, Joe?
Oh, this Wonder Woman movie was probably the best superhero movie I think I've seen in the last 10 years. And, you know, I think it is absolutely wonderful. So, well, not to, okay. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it's great. And it's, and what I was going to tell you is the origin that they give to Wonder Woman is, it's very biblical. It's now great. Granted, it's Zeus creating, you know, them instead of, God the Father. But if you can look beyond that, the motivation and, the fall of humanity, and the villain is named Ares, and Ares, is the god of war, and he mirrors, Lucifer, I mean, exactly, in the way he operates and in the way he interacts with Wonder Woman, with us. And I think it is, I don't know, it's just very exciting that that they're intentionally doing these. Now, I can't speak to the spirituality of the, or, you know, the motivation of the Joker or some of these, but if you explore, a lot of them definitely have roots in biblical characters.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that someone who read Superman, let's say 40 years ago, and a kid reading Superman today would both know the same hero. You know, they'd both know the origin, they would know what he stands for, and they would both know that no matter what, he will win, even if it takes a few issues, you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
I love that, you know, commonality across the generations. But here's a question for you. So why is it that it's so easy to accept evil portrayed in one of these comic movies than it is to acknowledge that there is evil in the world today? I mean, I think people are more open to accepting it and acknowledging it in a fictional setting than they are in the reality of our world.
Wow. You know, Peggy, you just gave me a great opportunity to get on my soapbox, because this is one of the reasons I love these stories. Beyond the fact that they're really entertaining, Jesus spoke in parables, and I'm not comparing Spider-Man or Batman to any of those stories. However, there are clear morals in these stories. And what I find interesting is we live in an age of, you know, it's been said we live in an age of practical atheism, where it's not as though we're denying God's existence, but many people live as though he doesn't exist. And yet they are completely receptive to stories that involve, you know, superpowered beings and terrible villains and good overcoming evil. And, what my hope is with this is maybe somebody who's not a believer could still enjoy these stories, and when they encounter the gospel, they'll be more receptive to it. Like, wow, I like when the good guys win, and I like when good overcomes evil, and I like these themes. So I think in the right way, superheroes can be very, very good for our culture.
Well, and I think it's important that parents not just treat these sort of as frivolous fantasy movies that their kids are enjoying,
right,
but give voice to the depth of them and have great conversations with kids, with young people, even teenagers, and into their
twenties,
about the subjects that they deal with in the movie, and realize that, yeah, this, we're going through this in life too. We're going through this in our world.
Well, and if you're, it does, you know, because one of the things that's cool about superheroes, and I see this a lot with my convention that I run, is it's one of these rare experiences where young people and older people all enjoy the same thing, and they're all getting the same thing out of it. When Star Wars Rogue One came out, last year, that's my top Star Wars movie. I love that movie.
Okay.
If you want to have a conversation with your daughter about Joan of Arc, go watch that movie first. And the lead character, Jen Erso, is a heroic female, and that may incur, you know, that may foster a discussion about Joan of Arc or some of our other female saints. And so I think if parents don't, you know, all superheroes are not created equal, though. Some of them, as I say, I would not read Deadpool. I would not read some of these others, but some of them are worth, you know, get involved with your kids. It'll unite you. It'll unite you and your kids.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And it may lead to something good, you know.
Well, you know, I want to pursue that a little bit more. But you are in Memphis, Tennessee, right, Joe?
That's right.
Okay. So I'm going to do a little plug here for our network. About 3.5, maybe 4 hour drive away from Memphis is Hansville, Alabama, where Mother Angelica, God rest her soul, built her breathtaking Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Now, listeners, why don't you consider planning a pilgrimage to this important and really very beautiful site? It's a holy place for sure. And it's a very unique setting for a spiritual renewal experience. EWTN can help you plan a visit, a mini pilgrimage to this destination where you will visit the final resting place of our beloved Mother Angelica. And just an hour away from the shrine in Hansville are the EWTN studios in Irondale. And part of that pilgrimage will be to tour the EWTN campus, attend a live taping of one of your favorite shows. You can be inspired and entertained. It's a great, accessible pilgrimage for you to enjoy with your family and friends. So start planning your pilgrimage with EWTN today. Call 205-271-2966. That's 205-271-2966. Or you can find out more on the EWTN website. You go to EWTN.com/pilgrimage. Okay, let's get back to our conversation with comic book superhero Joe Thornton. You're my superhero, Joe Thornton.
Wow.
Hey.
You got to set your standards higher.
You know, I got to ask you, though, how did the word geek become associated with this genre? I always think of geeks as being ascribed to the tech guys with all the pens in their pockets.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like today, isn't geek kind of a blanket term for anybody that's just too excited about one topic? I know sports geeks. I know.
That's true.
Yeah, I know
okay.
Geeks and everybody. So
good.
I think, yeah.
Okay. You clarified that.
Yeah.
Very good. I want to hear about Geek 101, the arts program that you have cultivated and spread throughout your region there in terms of using this comic book genre to teach kids to appreciate art.
Sure, absolutely. So I'll have to step back onto my soapbox for a second.
Yeah, don't get off it. We like that soapbox.
I'm a big supporter of the arts. I feel like art is one of the things that just makes us human. And, you know, I'm not going to get into a long discussion about God as an artist, but I feel like the arts are never given the respect they deserve in public schools, especially. And so it occurred to me, you know, our convention is full of comic book artists and filmmakers and actors and all sorts of interesting craftspeople. And I thought, why not tap into the art that the artists and create programs that'll get kids excited about art and literature and you know, writing and everything. And so what I do is on the Friday morning of our convention, we have school field trips that come out to our convention, and we do school presentations. Like we have an animator from the Simpsons named Chance Raspberry that does. He'll teach them about animation. We have filmmakers. We have comic book artists, and the students love it because we're talking about, you know, Batman and Darth Vader and things like that. But the teachers love it because at the heart of it, it is art, visual storytelling, literature, and they go back to school hopefully more excited about these subjects than when they arrive. And we also travel to schools throughout the year teaching students about filmmaking and comic book design because they're very similar.
Mm.
And the response we've gotten is great. And the second year we were into it, we connected with the Tennessee Arts Commission, and they've been really supportive, and it's a sanctioned event. So it's they gave us a lot of street cred and a lot of legitimacy to this, and they have just been a great partner with us. So we're really proud of Geek 101. I think more conventions should do this. So,
well, I think that's tremendous. So Geek 101 is directly affiliated with your annual convention.
Yeah, and I guess my shameless, I want to tell you this, Peggy. We're really excited because our convention is every November. So this year it's November 17th through 19th at the Graceland Guest House, because Graceland has expanded. They did like a $200 million expansion, and they built this beautiful hotel with a theater and all sorts of cool space, and they built the Elvis Museum across the street. And so we're there at this brand new facility, and we're as excited as we can be, because I mean, Elvis's house is basically, you know, the birth name. Well, you could say it's a mecca of pop culture, and we're a pop culture event.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a great fit. And I will say our convention is family friendly, because not all conventions are, but I want to make sure people understand that. So,
well, who,
and it's a lot of fun.
So does the convention have exhibitors like traditional conventions? Who comes and sets up and participates in this?
Yeah, it basically, it's 3 days and it's almost 24 hours a day. There's nonstop geek activity. And so there's all sorts of, there's all sorts of things. You know, you have your costume contest. We do a thing called a live cartoon. We have all sorts of interesting, filmmakers and guests. And then if you go in the big exhibitor rooms, you will see, you know, professional comic book artists. You'll see all sorts of interesting craftspeople and vendors and, just really unique people. We've even partnered with Memphis Opera, believe it or not. There's
wow.
a lot of cool tie-ins that we do with them. And then, of course, there's panels if you want to go learn about the psychology of Batman or the intricacies of Star Trek or any geek, you know, thing you want to discuss.
Well, what are the most popular with these kids that come and they want to participate in your convention? And what are they most drawn to? Are there certain attractions that you know are just going to be home runs, that these figures are so popular, or this storyline is so
yeah.
popular?
Well, they always want to meet, you know, they always want to meet our celebrity guest, which this year one of our celebrities is, his name is Jeremy Shotta. He's the voice of, you know, that TV show Adventure Time? He plays, maybe you don't, it's a big
silence on this end of the microphone.
He plays Finn the Human, and so people always want to meet the guests because you get to meet them and, you know, and talk to them and get their autograph and everything. And then there's, you know, there's the costume contest. There's this, the thing we do called the live cartoon, which is a very cool event. We have concerts, panels. We're doing something brand new though, and I don't know how it's going to come off, but it's, my son created, it's called Uncomfortable Theater. And
I like the sound of it.
And it's basically, now again, it's family friendly, like I said, but it's you have 2 minutes to make the audience as uncomfortable as you can and see who's going to win that. I don't know if it'll be a contest or not, but we're just throwing it up against the wall and seeing what
happens.
Well,
that's cute. Well, Joe, how can our listeners find out more about your convention? Is there a website they can go to?
Sure. It's Memphis CFC, like Comic Fantasy Convention. Mm-hmm. So it's MemphisCFC.com. And I would love it if they want to check us out on a Geek Tank Radio, too. They can listen to any of our shows. Just Google Geek Tank Radio and find us on Kiss FM.
Joe Thorderson.
Thanks for the plug.
Hey, Joe, this has been so much fun and such a fine tribute to a unique and really rich part of our American culture. And isn't it nice to know that we can weave our spirituality into our pop culture in this way? I mean, it's great to hold on to something like that. It's very encouraging.
Let's celebrate what's good in the world.
Let's celebrate. That's our theme here on Call Me Catholic. So good luck with your convention. We hope you get lots of happy geeks out there participating and enjoying all the arts you're presenting them with. Good luck with Geek 101, the kids program, and good luck with your radio show. We will look forward to following you on that, Joe. Have a great 4th of July weekend. Captain America says go forth and barbecue.
Thanks, Peggy. Love your show.
And may the force be with you. Thank you, Joe. Hey, the force of Christ, that is, right?
That's right.
Okay. God bless you, Joe.
And live long and prosper. Okay, we hit all the...
Did we get all the catchphrases? Okay.
Yeah.
God bless. That's the best one.
Thanks, Peggy.
Bye, Joe. Hey, so we've got a really fun follow-up. Isn't that great? I love talking with Joe. He's got a great personality.
Yeah, that was great.
I've listened to his radio show, some of his podcasts. Really, really fun. Unique subject, too. But as a follow-up to that conversation that we had with Joe about superheroes, I think you're going to enjoy this next Chatting with Catholic segment, where I took my microphone to an audience of young Catholic campers attending a Bible camp in our diocese, and I asked them to talk to me about their superheroes. And here's what they had to say.
Call Me Catholic. We're chatting with Catholics.
I'm walking on to Adventure Bible Camp at Our Lady Queen of Angels Parish in the Diocese of Orange, where hundreds of happy young campers are here to learn more about their faith, learn about Jesus, and have a really good time. So I'm going to ask some of these campers if they have a superhero in their life that they'd like to tell me about.
My superhero is Great Grandma.
Grandma, and is she still with us?
Yes.
Well, tell me about her.
She's wise. She's old, 98.
Well, that's awesome. You're blessed to still have her in your life. Tell her that she's your superhero, too. You should tell her that.
But she doesn't live in this country.
Well, still, you can send her a letter, okay?
Yeah.
Superheroes need a little support and encouragement sometimes. Tell me about your superhero.
My dad. My grandpa.
Well, you can have two superheroes. They can have equal billing in your life. Tell me about one of them.
Well, my grandpa's in the army, and he was, like, a captive in, like, the camp, German, and he was, like, taken...
He was a prisoner of war then, huh?
Yeah, and then he escaped.
Wow. You know, you have to have so much faith and so much bravery to be a prisoner of war. You have to have hope, too. So those are all qualities that are really important in a superhero, huh?
My grandpa, my mom's grandpa, he's not alive anymore, but he is also in the army. One time, when there's a bullet shot, and he had a Bible in his pocket, and it shot him right here, but the Bible stopped the bullet from going, like, into his heart.
Wow, so that is kind of a superpower that he had on him, the Bible. So that's why he was a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. That's a beautiful story. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have a superhero you want to tell me about?
Batman.
Batman. Okay, tell me why you like Batman.
Because we've seen the Batman movie number one.
Mm-hmm.
And he fired a bunch of bad guys, and there was a guy called the Joker, and he was going to destroy the city if the mayor didn't see him. And he had bats that were pets.
Okay, well, if you could be a superhero, what kind of power would you have?
Well, he doesn't have any kind of power. He doesn't fly. He just can walk slowly, and that's all he does. He just protects the city.
Okay, do you have a superhero?
Black Widow.
Oh, the Black Widow. Tell me about the Black Widow.
I think she climbs walls.
So she does good for the world?
Yeah.
Well, if I were a superhero, I don't think I'd want that name, though, because that doesn't bring up happy images.
Yes, the dangerous Black Widow is to be approached with caution.
But if you had a superpower, what would it be?
Protecting people.
Beautiful, thank you. Wait, here's somebody who actually knows about Black Widow. Tell us about her.
She's a Russian super spy. She's really fast, really strong. She helps Captain America a lot. The Black Widow's in all the, like, recent Avengers movies, and she's the only female superhero.
Well, if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
The ability to fly.
What would you do with your ability to fly?
I just always wanted to fly like a bird.
But you know what? So you have to have super abilities as a superhero so that you can do good in the world.
True. I guess I'd like fly around and see if anybody needed help and help where I could.
Okay. You're a superhero in training still, okay?
Yes, All right.
But thanks for clarifying that about the Black Widow because we didn't know who she was. That little girl was pretty young to know about the Black Widow. Your dad's your superhero? Tell me about what superhero qualities does he have?
Baseball.
Is he good at it?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. He's the superhero of baseball players. Cool. Do you have a superhero?
Superman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Superman, so you have a real fictional superhero. What do you love about Superman?
He has razors in his eyes.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Fire.
You could just start fire with your fingers?
Yeah.
You do it to bring good into the world and to defend all that is right, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go forth and fire. We're going to call you Fireman now, okay?
Okay.
Do you have a superhero?
Iron Man.
Iron Man. Tell me about Iron Man. I don't know much about him. What can he do?
He has a little thing on his belly that's a light, and he shoots a laser beam out of it. To save people.
To save people. All right. I like Iron Man. How about you?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. He can climb up the buildings, can he? He's pretty cool. What else can he do?
Use spider webs and build stuff with spider webs.
Can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man?
I was a superhero. I would be Iron Man. He has rocket boosters on his feet and hands.
Oh, wow.
My superhero is my grandpa because he was in the Navy. He served on, like, a helicopter.
Yeah, that takes a lot of courage, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if you were a superhero? What would you go out there and do for the world?
I don't know.
It's a big job. That last one, he has a little bit of time to develop his agenda as a superhero. You don't have to worry too much too
soon. It's a big job.
Weren't they cute? And I love the fact that a lot of them had people in their lives, guys that, you know, their grandpas and uncles that had served in the military. That's very heroic to young boys, especially. Do you have a superhero, Jimmy G?
Do I have a superhero? You know, I was going to say Mighty Mouse, but...
Come on. I'm so disappointed.
No, truth is, I would say that Christopher Reeve's portrayal as Superman, I thought was just fantastic. I loved it.
That was awesome. And likewise, I was going to ask Joe this, but I liked Michael Keaton's version of Batman the best. That's when he said, I am Batman.
Right.
It's perfect. But really, as I said earlier, I am a Indiana Jones girl. He is my superhero. And, you know, I guess that kind of fits into that genre, but he certainly didn't have any super abilities or superpowers. He was very modest and sort of.
That first Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of my all-time faves.
Oh, I love it. And of course, my three sons are my superheroes, as is my husband. So those are the people in my life that I think have super abilities that rescue me as a damsel in distress so often. But I love to know that we can see this popular pop art genre and find really rich spiritual themes in it. Mm. And we should be talking to our kids about it. And, you know, it's such a great metaphor for what we want them to hold as true and right.
Right.
And sometimes you have to tell the truth in the version of a story, and it becomes more palatable. It becomes more understandable, really, than just throwing the truth at them, you know, without any varnish.
I don't think I'd ever really done the visual before of superheroes lining up to receive communion. You know, I never really thought of that.
Oh, well, we could line some of them up. There's plenty of Catholic superheroes.
There you go.
Yeah, and saints, too. I love the fact that our saints are all super-duper heroes. Hey, we got a lot of great programming still lined up for you today on the EWTN Radio Network. Coming up right after our show is Barbara McGuigan and 2 hours of The Good Fight, which is great pro-life conversation. She's kind of a pro-life superhero, Wonder Woman herself.
Exactly.
And then we have Vocation Boom Radio. We have Register Radio from the National Catholic Register, which just received a very distinguished award in the Catholic Press Awards. So congratulations, National Catholic Register. But mostly we want you to tune in again next week for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.